The Henry Raines Show, only on News Talk 820.
And I ain't no communist, and I ain't no capitalist, and I ain't no socialist, I ain't no imperialist, no, I ain't no Democrat, sure ain't no Republican, I only know one party, and it is freedom. I am a
Good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of the Henry Raines Show here on News Talk AM 820 WWBA. Glad to be with you again this Sunday. And we could look at some of the stories of the week. Has Democratic health care been resuscitated? How about what this country needs is some big deficits and some inflation? Or maybe we'll just do our Oscar picks for the night. But maybe not. In the second hour, we're going to speak with John Robb, author of Brave New War. We'll be speaking with Senate candidate and former senator from New Hampshire, Bob Smith, about his attempt to take on Marco Rubio and Charlie Crist. But I had to call in the big gun today to take on bigger issues, because there seems to be some guy named Beck out there, Glenn Beck, and he seems to be telling a history of the United States and what different words mean. And frankly, I don't want to leave it to him to sort it out. We're going to find out what you think a conservative is, what a liberal is, what a progressive, populist, communist, socialist, whatever they all are. We're going to try and explore that. And to help me out with that is Matt Bruce, the captain of the Captain's America radio show, as well as Troop Talk. He is a combat wounded Vietnam veteran, a retired fire rescue captain, injured in the line of duty. He actually was a first responder on the World Trade Center site at September 11th attack. He's been an elected official as a tax assessor. Ooh, that sounds scary. He's also nationally syndicated in, 75, 80 stations, and international, actually. So, Matt, thanks for coming up here to News Talk 820.
Well, thank you very much, Henry, and I want to thank you very much for sending the stretch limo, the Escalade, that somehow you got away from Charlie Rangel. How'd you manage that?
He's keeping a low profile right now. And good old Charlie makes Governor Patterson takes the heat off him there.
Yes, sir.
But I want to do a quick update to something from last week before we get into our agenda of the day. And last week, and I know you're familiar with him because first of all, let's give a little history here. Matt started his show originally on the same station. I was in South Florida, Southwest Florida there, and of course, he's been doing great guns with that. But he would hear when people like Harley Schlanger would come on the old radio show. And he is familiar with the Lyndon LaRouche organization. And as we can, I think, agree, it tends to be a cult of personality, to say the least. But they're very interesting people, and they're very good on the economy. And but again, it's sort of wacky in a way, although I like to talk to them. And as somebody once pointed out to me, wacky and brilliant are not mutually exclusive. In fact, sometimes they go together quite often. And what happened this past week, I talked to Matt about a little bit when I first saw the announcement. The LaRouche people have something called the LaRouche Youth Movement, which right away is not anything I would have named like that. Has connotations from older times, like Hitler Youth Movement or whatever. But anyway, they got these young people who are dedicated and all. Keisha? Let's see, her name is, what's the heck of a press release when you don't put the name? Keisha Rogers won the Democratic primary in Texas 22nd District, Tom DeLay's old seat, with 53% of the vote. The Democratic Party anointed one got 20-some-odd%. But this is what I really think will interest you. She ran an open campaign on impeaching Barack Obama. Now, do you think that actually has traction? It must have if she got it.
Well, there is a movement afoot out there, and there's some other people, and we may get into that because I've got a short clip on it here. that are talking about that, but it's not the majority. Now, I don't know if you know this, but the legislators in the state of Maryland have actually got a movement like that going.
Interesting. Well, yeah. They have a couple other candidates out there in the primaries. Of course, Texas primary comes awful early for the 2010, and yep. I would think that if it's Tom DeLay's old district, you know, the Republicans have the inside track, but I wonder, do you think that they might be able to pull Republicans and some of these Tea Party people with a platform like that?
Well, there's going to be a few Tea Party people that will be involved simply because of the fact that they've got that faction of the group. They call them the birthers and whatnot, and they will be involved in this. But as far as the mainstream Republicans, I doubt it.
All right.
I doubt it. That's a dead issue for most of us.
Well, a little update there to people who were listening last week and wondered what the heck that organization is. They'll pull a rabbit out of their hat every now and then for you. One quick thing about the Oscars before we get into the more deeper conversation here. By the way, we want you to participate, too, at 866-977-4820, 866-977-4820. And we want your thoughts on what a conservative value is, what a liberal, progressive, populist, as I said, I don't need to recite the whole list, but what you think they are, and we're going to explore that in just a minute. But the Oscars are tonight. You probably aren't that big an Oscar guy.
Nah.
But one of the movies that I want to ask you about, because you talk with so many military people to get their opinion, you know, we have this ex-husband and wife that are competing for Best Picture with Avatar from James Cameron and Hurt Locker from his ex-wife. Now, I understand that Iraq veterans don't care for that movie very much.
That's what I've been hearing.
Yeah, that it's they would not want to serve with the guy that's the star of the movie. That he's very reckless, and it's nothing like what real life is like.
Well, have you ever seen a movie yet that's exactly the way real life is?
Well, I guess that's the whole point. So, but yeah, I remember
Backdraft. Remember the firefighters running?
Yeah, that would be one.
Nobody in their right mind could have survived 5 seconds of 3,000-degree super heat running through a building without SCBA.
Right, and I guess there's a scene in this Hurt Locker where the star, mm-hmm. who I guess is a demolitions expert and has to defuse the explosive devices that could be found anywhere, actually dons on his sweatsuit and decides to go running around Baghdad by himself just to get a jog. And I don't think that would be a very likely thing to do. Matt, so anyway, what in your mind is a conservative?
Well, most conservatives call themselves Americans just as just about everybody else does. Most conservatives call themselves patriot. A lot of conservatives call themselves independent. And a vast majority of conservatives call themselves constitutionalists. But I go with the first thing that I go with is being an American. Because when people say to me, they go, well, are you a Democrat or Republican, an independent, blah, 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 blah. I say, well, I'm an American. How about you?
Right.
That's
well,
what I say.
And very common with the theme of this
sure.
theme song for this show.
Sure. Absolutely. And that is a good theme song you've got. And I actually heard that song being played on Neil Bortz's show last week.
Oh, they're all stealing my ideas, I
yeah,
guess.
Yeah, they are.
So, what about the idea of big government, small government? What is the function of government in your mind as you call yourself an independent conservative, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, the function of government is not to have their nose into everything that American people are doing. Government has a place, and remember, government is of the people, by the people, for the people. Remember that phrase from years ago?
Yeah, it sounds familiar.
Okay, well, the fact of the matter is that to have government involved in everything in our lives and telling us what we can do and we can't do, and it's kind of sorry when you take a look at news clips that are coming out this week talking about the dependency on government has now spiked 31% since 2001, in that a staggering 60.8 million people now depend on the government for their daily housing, food, and health care, one of the above, or all of them.
Well, that's a startling number, but it's not unexpected, because the last time we had economic times like this would be the Great Depression,
mm-hmm.
and America was still a rural country there. You could go back to the farm when you couldn't find work. You could go back to Grandma and Grandpa's house, and you could survive. Now we don't even have that ability anymore to feed ourselves.
No, unless you know how to grow a garden up on the roof of this building, perhaps.
Yeah, hydroponic up there.
Yep.
Oh, that's they better. I wasn't supposed to say what they grow up there.
Okay.
Anyway, on the other side of the break, we'll continue with Matt Bruce, but we're going to look at what these definitions are, and we're going to hear a clip from Glenn Beck also, what he tends to define progressive and all these other things are. You're listening to The Henry Raines Show here on News Talk AM 820 WWBA.
This portion of The Henry Raines Show is brought to you by Callens, Little & Delgado, a full-service law firm practicing personal injury, family, criminal defense, and immigration law.
Tampa Bay, log on to NewsTalk820.com.
I'm Scott Callens from the law firm of Callens, Little, Delgado, and Opstal. During this season of high roadway traffic, you need to be extra cautious. You should know that Harvard researchers have concluded that cell phone use while driving increases your likelihood of being injured in a car accident by 4 times. Reduce your chances of injury by driving a bit slower and by pulling from the roadway when you must use your cell phone. You'll arrive at your destination safely, and your caller will appreciate the attention that you've given them. At Callens, Little, Delgado, and Opstal, we help people who have been injured by careless drivers. If you or your loved ones have been injured in an accident, you may have questions. At Callens, Little, Delgado, and Opstal, we want to help. There's no charge to meet with us, and our fees are based on a percentage of what we recover for you. Call us at 941-749-1446. Let us help answer your questions. Callens, Little, Delgado, and Opstal, 941-749-1446, or reach us at makeempay.net.
Hi, I'm Dr. Michael Lang, board-certified optometric physician and certified nutritional specialist. I'm also host of Ask the Doctor, now heard live every weekday on News Talk 820 WWBA from 9 to 10 in the morning. I'm here to help answer all your questions regarding your vision, eye care, and ocular nutrition. So if you're wondering how proper nutrition may slow down aging in the eye and body, then tune in and listen about the latest in optical, medical, surgical, and nutritional treatment. That's Ask the Doctor with me, Dr. Michael Lang, now heard right here every weekday from 9 to 10 on News Talk 820 WWBA. WBA.
Thousands of Americans, just like you, are being hounded by the IRS for back tax debt. End the worry and the harassment by calling the Tax Debt Relief Center. That one call will put you in contact with a tax debt specialist. And your call and consultation are free. What can the Tax Debt Relief Center do for you? A team of tax experts can help you settle past tax debts. They can help with penalties and interest. They can help release IRS liens and wage garnishments and stop additional levies and seizures. Stop living with the fear, the uncertainty, and the high monthly payments. The IRS has a team of experts. Don't fight them alone. Get your own team of experts now. If you have $15,000 or more in tax debt, call us now. Call 800-710-6721 for your free consultation. That's 800-710-6721. Call now. 800-710-6721.
Henry Raines Show here on News Talk AM 820. Joining me as guest co-host today, Matt Bruce, the captain of the Captain's America website, thecaptainsamerica.com, and you can find out where the nearest affiliate is that you can listen to his weekly radio show also, as well his other show, Troop Talk. Before I play Glenn Beck's little bit of sound here, I did go to dictionary.com, and conservative is supposedly disposed to preserve existing conditions and, you know, conserve the situation, the status quo, restore traditional ones, limit change. Liberal is favorable to progress or reform in political or religious affairs. A progressive, which is going to get more to the point here in a minute, because Glenn Beck seems to be on a one-man crusade to turn this word into communism and also to demonize the whole concept. Progressives started back in the turn of the 20th century. Lately, the name was taken up because Rush Limbaugh had a real successful run in demonizing the word liberal. And if you were a conservative back in the 60s, when during the Civil Rights Movement and the anti-war movement, you were demonized too. Anyway, the progressive is favoring or advocating progress, change, improvement, or reform. Hard to argue with that. Liberal, it says, also secured freedoms guaranteed by law, secured by government protection. Populism, a little bit different from the others, but not much. often anti-establishment or anti-intellectual political movements. And then, of course, we could go on to communism and fascism. But really, why bother when we have a Glenn Beck soundbite? This is called From the Cancer of Progressivism. And Glenn Beck, as Matt knows, has done a whole big thing about going back to the founders, going back to the roots, basically defining America in his image. Let's play just a little bit of this.
Republican President Teddy Roosevelt, who gave a speech titled The New Nationalism, in which he spoke about human welfare. Personal property, Roosevelt said, is, quote, subject to the general right of the community to regulate its use to whatever degree the public welfare may require it, end quote. That was a Republican. His thoughts on accumulated wealth are equally surprising. In the same speech, Roosevelt said, quote, we grudge no man a fortune in civil life if it is honorably obtained and well used. It's not even enough that it should have been gained without doing damage to the community. We should permit it to be gained only so long as the gaining represents benefit to the community.
All right, Matt. Now, he has a way of presenting this history without the context. What are your thoughts on that quote, first of all?
First of all, Glenn Beck is on a crusade while everybody else is, he's telling everybody else around the country to cut back and live within your means and, you know, watch what you've got and all that stuff. He's expanding. He's doing just the absolute opposite of what he's talking about. And the amazing thing is, I found this out through my contacts that he's expanded. If you listen to the things that he's promoting on his radio show and on his television show, those are his sidelines. Those are his extra businesses. He's not only into radio, he's into television, he's into promotions, he's into productions, he does spots, the whole nine yards, okay, which is smart on his part. He's expanding at a time when everybody else is getting smaller. So, if he believes that we're turning to socialism, which he does, because he said it many times, why is he expanding as a conservative, which he is, or libertarian, which I believe he's also called himself? Why is he expanding when the point of socialism is not to expand and increase your business? It's for the socialists to come in and take over the business and then take it in and distribute it to whoever, however they do it. That's my understanding, anyway.
866-977-4820. 866-977-4820. We can talk about health care and other stuff here, but I just want to explore this a little bit more with Matt anyway. You know, he talks about Teddy Roosevelt and the progressive movement, what a horrible thing that was. And even in the quote that he used from Teddy Roosevelt about wealth well used, he doesn't give you the context of the abuse of consolidated wealth and power and the trust and the cartels that were of the time.
That's true. And Teddy Roosevelt was the one that coined the phrase, speak softly and carry a big stick. Remember that with the White Armada that was going around the world?
Right.
Who do you think funded all of that?
Yes. And
the Rockefellers, for the most part.
And, of course, that was the era of the Gilded mm-hmm. Age, J.P.
Yep.
Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things that came out of the progressive movement, and we'll talk about how you can't really compare the time period and the needs of 200 years ago or 100 years ago or the present. You have to deal with the concept of what's there. But, you know, some of the things that came out of the progressive movement that Glenn Beck hates was the Sherman Antitrust Act, was child labor laws, was the direct election of senators. These are all things that we... Teddy Roosevelt, you got to talk about national parks. These are things mm-hmm. that we now say are the function of government. They should be inspecting meat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, when you talk to these people that want such... That hold the Constitution up, and well, it's well served us, but... They hold it as so rigid. Do you think that the Constitution needs to evolve and change?
No, but there is a Supreme Court, or not Supreme Court, the Ninth Circuit Court. Have you heard about this, the judicial nominee over there? He made a commitment. His name is Goodwin Liu. That's L-I-U. He made a statement the other day that said that the Constitution must adapt to the changing world. Well, in order to do that, you would have to rewrite the Constitution or add an amendment somewhere along the line. But this new judicial nominee for the Ninth Circuit Court actually came out and said that.
Hmm. Well, you know, the founders that he likes to talk about actually put in a provision because they didn't think that the Constitution would hold up as well as it has.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a means for a constitutional convention. And that Now, that'll lead us into some of the things we're going to talk about in the next segment, because we will address health care, I guess. 866-977-4820, 866-977-4820. But do you think that the individual mandate for health care, Matt, is constitutional?
Actually, if the government tells you that you have to do, that you have to buy something, if they're using that as the context for it, if the government says you must buy this because, I believe that's unconstitutional. I don't think the government can tell you what you do or do not need to buy.
So if this were to go through, we're probably going to be looking at an eventual Supreme Court challenge.
I believe so, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We were looking at that. That's one of the things that, of course, other people would say it's to promote the common good that's in the Constitution, that's a way of getting there. But that does cross a line between the general and the individual. Let's go ahead and go to the phone lines. We've got 866-977-4820, 866-977-4820, and we'll go to Chris in Tampa.
Yeah, hey, guys. You know, my opinion is we have veered away from the original Constitution in such an extreme manner over the past 100 years. I think, you know, what you guys talk about back, I think what he... You know, one of his goals is to steer us back into that direction.
And what would be an example of that?
Well, the example of that is, you know, everything our commander-in-chief, the president, does. And it's not just, you know, President Obama or President Bush or Clinton. Their roles have been expanded greatly. That job, and it is a job, is supposed to be the commander-in-chief of our military. They're not just supposed to legislate and push agendas from a presidency. That is supposed to come out of Congress, the people that we represent that are closer to us. I am adamantly opposed of giving greater authority to a central government. I would rather have my local community and local government.
Hey, Chris, hang on just a second, because we're going to run up against time, and Matt had something he wanted to say to you.
Chris, have you heard of legislating from the bench? How about the executive orders that a president does? Is that a form of legislating from the executive office?
Well, there's no question. I mean, that is a form of it, but, you know, that's our judicial bench. Is that what you're referring to? Or?
Yes, sometimes they legislate from the bench.
Yeah, and certainly I'm opposed to that too. You know, I think our judicial bench, they've outstepped their realm too. If you look at, you know, the recent nominee to our Supreme Court, Sonia Sotomayor, she had some strong feelings about, you know, legislating from the bench and doing things that are right for our time.
Well, Chris, it works both ways, because we just saw the Roberts Court expand and overturn 100 years of precedent with their campaign finance ruling that just came recently. I want to get one more question to you before we're totally out of time and got to go to a break. So I take it you've listened a lot to Glenn Beck.
I listen to talk radio, all varieties. I listen to Bill Maher. I enjoy, you know.
Okay, well, quickly, because we're going to run out of time. When he talks about this horrible thing of the progressive movement, where we got food and drug laws, where we got national parks, where we got child labor laws, does that hold water with you?
No, I certainly don't take everything he said. I don't know those exact quotes that you're referring to. I do listen to Glenn Beck, you know, as I'm traveling throughout my workday. But, you know, certainly I don't think he's creating an audience that just will take everything he says hook, line, and sinker.
Okay.
And back it, but you know, I don't think independent thinking is a bad thing.
All right, Chris, we're up against the break. I'm sorry to cut you off, but thanks for the call so much.
You're welcome.
All right. On the other side of the break, we're going to hear from Daniel and Nick, but we have room for you too at 866-977-4820, 866-977-4820. Coming back on the Henry Rain Show with guest co-host Matt Bruce.
This portion of the Henry Rain Show is brought to you by Canada Med Services. Save up to 70% on your prescriptions. Call
1-877-917-3600. Log on to NewsTalk820.com.
Paying too much for your prescription medication? Call Canada Med Services, 877-917-3600. Save up to 70% on your prescription. Call 877-917-3600. In their 6 year of saving customers money on medications, Canada Med Services, 877-917-3600. Guaranteed delivery. Government inspected and approved factories. Save up to 70% on your prescription. Call 877-917-3600.
Tampa Bay, log on to NewsTalk820.com.
Hey, Artie Fletcher here. I want to invite you to a very funny night at the Tampa Improv. I will be performing live. That's right, live. And there will be a live remote broadcast on NewsTalk 820 immediately following my performance. Write this date down, people. Wednesday evening, March 24th at 7:30. Come see me live in my gang of misfits at the Tampa Improv. Don't miss it. For free tickets, call the Tampa Improv at 813-864-4000. Call now. Mention NewsTalk 820 for free tickets.
Henry Rain Show here on News Talk AM 820 WWBA. Website for the station, 820WWBA.com. You can not only get the audio stream there, but you can get the webcam. And, well, you see a whole bunch of Nick in the control room and the edges of the Captain Matt Bruce and myself here in the broadcast studio. The Captain, of course, of the CaptainsAmerica.com. Syndicated radio show, The Captain's America. By the way, you can hear me for a few minutes each week, and it graciously gives me time to bloviate and pontificate for a few minutes, about 10 minutes maybe, and we talk about the issues of the day. We'll tell you more about that in just a moment, and you can also get that segment at henryrainshow.podomatic.com. We'll tell you more about the podcast later. Let's go to the phone lines. You can get in 866-977-4820. Go to Daniel in Clearwater. Hey, Daniel.
Oh, hello. I'd like to give a short joke, and then I'll get to my point. I think that the poor man, the 96-year-old man that was mauled by that otter.
Yeah. Now, you're going to keep this clean, aren't you?
Well, yes.
Okay.
Well, the otter was looking for trouser trout. Is that clean?
That's about as far as we want to go.
Okay, now the point I'm making is Obamacare is just a way to make the long-standing taxpayers of America pay for the Great Society and the Immigration Reform Act.
Daniel,
that's what it comes down to.
How do you get your health care?
I've talked to you before.
I know, but not everybody heard you before, so let's reiterate.
I'm like Rush Limbaugh. I pay out of pocket.
Okay, so you're not of Medicare age then?
No.
And you don't have a health insurance plan?
No.
Do you negotiate before you make a service?
I'm a healthy man.
So you just ride in that horse as long as you can?
If something happens to me, I will just pay for it. And that's life.
What was the last big medical bill you had?
I guess when I was born.
And okay.
Are
you over 50?
For that.
Are you over 50?
Yeah.
Well, good luck, Daniel.
That's throwing the dice.
You are going to have a hard time ever getting insurance, and you're going to be in for some sticker shock.
Mm-hmm.
And let me give you some free advice, Daniel, just so you know. Before you accept the doctor treating you, ask him if he'll accept the Medicare fee schedule. I'm serious now. You really need to ask that question.
Now, there's no way, Henry, that Obama can force people to buy insurance. Now, he's going to let the Christian Scientists and the Amish, he's going to exempt them. So all I'm going to do is I'm going to walk down the street from where my mother lives when I visit her, and there's a Christian Science church, and I will join that church, and then I will be exempt.
All right, Daniel, thanks for the call. We got to get to Nick. You know, poor old Daniel is going to be in for a shock, because I've talked about it on the show, I managed a surgical practice
That's
in
right.
the late 90s into just past to about 2001, 2002, and I would see people that would come in with their x-rays from the emergency room,
mm-hmm.
and they had paid cash, and for like your radius, like I'm forgetting the bones of the body now,
mm-hmm.
a broken radius and wrist.
Yep.
$200 for an X-ray, we would have charged $45, and Medicare probably only would have paid $33.
Well, three surgeries later, and the bionic ankle over here, $36,000. Tell me about it.
Let's go to Nick in Clearwater. Nick, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I just want to say, as far as Teddy Roosevelt is concerned, you know, he ran as a Republican, but the only reason why Woodrow Wilson was elected as a Democrat was because Teddy Roosevelt and Taft split the nomination for the Republican Party, you know, which created the Federal Reserve, which I think, you know, there needs to be a lot of discussion about. I'm not one of those people to say we need to abolish the Federal Reserve altogether, but I do think we need to understand a little bit more about what goes on behind their doors. And as far as the direct election of senators, I'm totally against that. You know, the purpose of the Senate is to represent the states. The House of Representatives is to represent the people. Now, just because something doesn't pass on the federal level, that doesn't mean that your state can't do it. And what's good for Florida may not be good for Washington. You know, it may not be good for Tennessee. So I have no problem with the federal government never doing anything.
Right. Nick,
except for maybe
Nick,
taking care of the
just
road.
Hold on a second. We're going to give you more time, but I want to hit a couple things. I know Matt has something he wants to say to you, and I just want to point out, because I've heard Glenn Beck say this and attribute the Federal Reserve to the politicians that did it. It was that, yes, they acquiesced, but it was J.P. Morgan and a lot of the big bankers, including some not in this country, that formed the Federal Reserve in secret and then presented it to the government for its approval. Matt, you have something you want to say?
Well, I want to state to begin with, the United States Senate was never supposed to be an elected position. Those were appointed. Remember that?
That's by the way by the state
appointed,
government.
Exactly. They were appointed by the state.
That's
the
correct.
State appointed those.
And the whole purpose behind having a congressman in Congress was to have like a what they called a gentleman congressman. In other words, like a common man congressman. It wasn't to have somebody in there for 47 or 50 years.
And the thought behind the Senate being appointed by the states was that there wouldn't be any money or politics involved.
Mm-hmm.
They would be there for the sole purpose to represent the states, and there wouldn't be millions and millions of dollars going into campaigns to actually fund our most powerful body of Congress.
Very true.
Nick, thanks a lot. We're and Clearwater is really representing today. And another thing that people don't realize is you didn't get to vote for president in a lot of states in the
That's right.
founding of the country. So when you talk about the founders and how things were in the good old days, be careful what you wish for.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like Andrew Jackson's election.
Right.
Which was the first one where almost all the states
yes.
you were electing directly. And that was one mud fest, too. Makes Charlie Crist and Marco Rubio.
I wonder if they teach that anymore in the schools.
What?
We learned it. I wonder if they actually teach that in American
I learned
history,
that on but. My own. So I didn't,
oh, okay.
You know, I'm a little bit ahead of you. I mean, you were a little ahead of me in the school. Let's see. we have Greg in Clearwater. Go ahead, please, Greg.
Well, first of all, Matt, this is Greg, the regular on your show. How are you?
Hi, Greg. I'm doing good. Nice to talk to you.
You're talking about health insurance and related matters.
Mm-hmm.
This is a question for the both of you. I don't have an answer, but I want to get your juices going. Suppose if we treated health insurance, the industry, the same way we treated the energy company, make it a public utility in a sense, treat it as a utility, would that be a way of approaching it that might work to get the interest of both sides to solve the problem? Because there is a problem for maybe 20% of the population. 80% is fine, thank you, but for the 20% that don't have really good coverage, if we approached the insurance companies and treated them the same way we do the electric company and what they have to go through for rates and things related, would it make any kind of sense, or am I smoking the wrong weed?
Well, if I can take first shot at that.
Go
By
ahead.
The way, open lines at 866-977-4820. 866-977-4820. We almost have an inverted form of that, because I know when from negotiating insurance contracts for my doctor years ago, in the mid-90s, you would come in and the insurance company would offer you a little bit more than the Healthcare Financing Administration paid for Medicare. By the end of the period I was there, they would come in and they'd offer you 85% of Medicare. But Medicare and the Healthcare Financing Administration, this is getting a little bit inside baseball, they have something called resource-based relative value. The best way to compare it is they assign a value, just like the Chevy dealer does, on how many hours a brake job is supposed to take, how many hours the transmission is supposed to take, and it doesn't matter how long any individual mechanic goes, that's the price that it's going to be. Everything is based on that, which is set by bureaucrats, And we already have pretty much government-directed, and no procedures that Medicare doesn't allow are likely to be covered by commercial insurance companies.
And, Greg, in the latest CNN and opinion research poll, 73% of Americans say they're opposed to any health care legislation and say they want Congress to start over again with a new bill. Now, let me also toss in there that most states regulate insurance, and government and politics now says that 36 states aim to preempt the federal health care plan. In other words, they're not going to take it. They're going to have their own plan.
If you don't mind, is it something else I'd like to address with the both of you, which really bothers me?
Okay, let me just tease something coming up on the other side of the break. We're going to talk. We're going to hear from Mitt Romney about the Massachusetts plan, but go ahead, Greg.
Let's switch gears for a moment, because this really concerns me. Neither political party, going back to the first Gulf War to the present, neither political party has ever been serious about using oil reserves, alternative fuel, really getting all the possible ways we can create energy going. And I find it's a sin that we're not more energy independent. And both parties have done a bad job of solving this problem.
Got a good lobby in the oil lobby, don't they? Because that's what's keeping us from doing it. Because we have run up here. I have a program that I support, the FloridaOil.org movement, which is Don Beldoff down in Manatee County. And it's about using the Submerged Lands Act, going out 125 miles, taking our own oil, using our state sovereignty to take that oil, bring it back to the state of Florida, build a refinery, perhaps in the Port Manatee area, and save the transportation cost that would cost to send that over to Mississippi, Texas, Louisiana, which is 10, 12 cents a gallon at $75 a barrel. Mm-hmm. Well, today it's $81.20, and who knows where it's going to go next. But the fact of the matter is, if we were to do that, get serious about building a refinery or two in certain places where we could save money and tell the Arabs to go eat sand while we're developing our alternative energy, we'd be a lot better off.
Yeah, Greg, I don't know how old you are, but were you around for the Jimmy Carter administration?
Oh, I remember Jimmy.
You remember his energy plan? I mean,
I still have the original sweater. It goes along with my members only.
My brother Billy makes some beer by the old Dow Steel.
But he had an alternative energy program that got killed.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't know that it would have been executed well, but certainly we wouldn't have been addressing it for 30 years if we had had some kind of movement.
Oh.
Greg, thank you for the call.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right. On the other side of the break, we'll get John from Englewood. And then 866-977-4820, we can hear from you. 866-977-4820. You're listening to The Henry Raines Show. Guest co-host Matt Bruce, the Captain's America.
This portion of The Henry Raines Show is brought to you by HurtByAccident.com. 1-888-280-HURT. Personal injury attorneys, they'll come to you.
If you've been hurt by accident, and it wasn't your fault, you should know that not all negligence claims end in going to court. Most accident claims are settled out of court. And just because you have insurance doesn't mean that you will be covered for your injuries. Health insurance won't pay you for lost wages. Health insurance won't pay to fix your car or even get you a rental car if you need one. Hi, I'm attorney C.J. Zaya. For nearly 20 years, my partner Kevin Gallagher and I have been helping accident victims get compensated for injuries caused by the negligence of others. And we do it for free, meaning there is no fee or cost to you unless we recover for you. Some attorneys charge you for their costs, not us. At Zion Gallagher, we charge you nothing. Our fee comes out of what we recover for you. Call us today, toll free, at 1-888-280-HURT. That's 1-888-280-HURT. At the law firm of Zaya and Gallagher, personal injury law is all we do. That's 1-888-280-HURT.
Hi, I'm Kevin Klein. I'd like to tell you what the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International is all about. It's curing diabetes and its complications. The JDRF Walk to Cure Diabetes raises millions of dollars to fund the finest, most advanced diabetes research the world has to offer. So bring your family, your friends. All you got to do is walk. I'm ready. Are you?
To find a walk or donate to JDRF, log on to jdrf.org. Together, we will find a cure.
It's our 75th birthday. Come celebrate the 2010 Florida Strawberry Festival with us through March 14th, with America's top entertainers appearing twice daily on the GTE Federal Credit Union soundstage. There's free entertainment every day with arts and crafts, exhibits, tasty foods, parades, and over 80 of the most exciting rides ever, featuring Ride All You Want special days and nights on the Bell City Amusements Midway. Heidi Newfield appears at 3:30. And Darius Rucker at 7:30. Today is Mountain Dew Family Day. Bring a Mountain Dew can to the festival and ride all day for just $20. Tomorrow it's Mel Tillis and comedian Bill Engvall. Gate admission is just $10 for adults, $5 for kids, and children 5 and under are free. Get your tickets at flstrawberryfestival.com. That's flstrawberryfestival.com. Or visit a Sweet Bay supermarket for discounted tickets. The 2010 Florida Strawberry Festival. 75 years. Come celebrate with us.
Henry Rank Show, News Talk, AM 820, WWBA, special guest co-host, the Captain, Matt Bruce, of the Captain's America Radio Show and Troop Talk Radio. Let's run down the websites real quickly, 820WWBA.com for the audio stream, the video stream, my podcast site, henryrainshow.podomatic.com, that's Rains, R-A-I-N-E-S, and podomatic.com, Henry Rain Show, podomatic.com. You can send comments and emails to me, post comments, etc. And then, Matt, what about your website?
TheCaptainsAmerica.com is the principal website. From there, you can go there and find out everything I'm doing wherever I'm at.
And there's multiple stations in Florida that carry your show. And so
Saturday and Sunday. On the way up, it was kind of funny. I heard the station in Lakeland play in the last 17 minutes.
Okay. And you went, that guy sounds good.
I went, man, I know that guy.
All right, we have callers standing by at 866-977-4820, 866-977-4820. We're going to get to John and Jim, and we have room for you if you hurry and call now, because after the top of the hour, we'll be speaking with John Robb, author of Brave New War, and that's really going to shift the gears a little bit. But let's go to John in Englewood.
Yeah, a couple of things. First of all, on the Federal Reserve System, there was a person by the name of Eustace Mullins who wrote The Secrets of the Federal Reserve. He wrote it back in 1952. And even as today we speak, it's probably the most succinct, most magnificent book that has ever been written, Secrets of the Federal Reserve.
You know, now, John, hang on just a second, because I want to fill in a little bit on that. Because I've looked at that online. That was not allowed to be published and circulated in the U.S. I think it actually was published in Europe. Before it came to America.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, the actual situation there is that someone took the book and published it in Germany. He had 10,000 copies. The copies were confiscated. And this is after the Second World War, of course. And so it was not able to be published in Germany, and now it is. But anyway, that was the story on that. But anyway, Eustace passed away about a month ago. Now, prior to that, the first book that he had, the first edition, the first copy, there's a person by the name of Stimson, who was in charge of the Library of Congress, where Eustace used to work, and he actually used to at the Library of Congress. That book went on eBay, sold on eBay for $8,300. That was the largest amount at that time that was ever paid for an autographed book by a living author.
Okay.
And if you look,
John, we're gonna rush.
Mullins, I mean, it's just the man. He's written 25 books. He wrote The World Order. He wrote Murder by Injection. The whole intertwined scam, from the medical monopolies to the financial monopolies. Why are we today? You know, trillions and trillions of dollars.
I gotta get to other callers, John. I'm sorry you had to wait, and that's good information. So give people the keywords again when they do a Google search, because I know you can get the whole book online now.
Well, Secrets of the Federal Reserve, but Eustace, which means justice, Eustace Mullins.
Okay.
And Federal Reserve Eustace Mullins.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, John. Sorry we had to rush you. I want to make sure we get our other two callers in before the end of the hour. Let's go to Jim in Spring Hill. Hey, Jim.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I don't want to take you off message, but I had an observation about the medical.
Please, box. Please give it to us.
Well, my wife was recently diagnosed with cancer.
Sorry.
Thank you. She's doing great. So she had to go down to our local area to get a PET scan. So she calls on the phone, and they give her. She asked how much it would cost if she paid cash, and they told her it was $1,200. And they said, well, you know, if you go through your insurance company, it would be $1,800. Didn't leave a name or anything. That's fine. A couple of weeks later, you know, she had made the appointment. She goes in there, gets the PET scan. When she had given her insurance card, they realized that it was Humana. They said, oh, great. Humana's part of our organization. You can run a PET scan through Humana, and it might save you a lot of money. So we just recently got the bill in the mail. And it was $4,800, and our portion to pay was $2,400. So I don't get it, man, how these
$2,400?
That was our portion of it. The total was, they billed Humana $4,800. When they told us over the phone, had we paid cash, it would have been $1,200, and to any other insurance company, it would have been $1,800.
Was this a standalone center, or was it at the hospital?
Standalone center.
Unbelievable.
Something doesn't sound right, and it sounds like as if somebody might be in big trouble if you wanted to pursue that legally.
Well, have you called Humana to see if that was correct on the fee schedule? That copay sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely will get back to them. If it happened to me, I'm sure it's happening to other people. That's my point. And if we didn't call first, we would have never had even known that there was a difference. In the amount.
Let me tread carefully here, because I don't want Humana's lawyers down my neck. But having experienced from the practice management side, Humana's policies and how they do things, I think you need to dig into this, because that's as far as I want to go on publicly on the radio right now. But I would not take anything for granted from them.
Listen, I can stick my neck out. I have nothing to lose. They can call me any day. I'll give them my number off the air if you want. Because it's just ridiculous, you know. I'm not bashful to stand up for myself.
All right, I'll tell you what, Jim. Nick is going to put you on hold. He'll get your number, and I'll call you after the show. Maybe we can figure something out.
Great show, man. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you. And let's go to Augie in Sarasota. Hey, Augie.
Hey, Henry. How you doing?
Pretty good.
I just caught the tail end of some things. I just tuned you in a little bit ago. The one thing I heard was the business of using the oil off of Sarasota shoreline and
state of Florida, Augie.
Pardon?
The state of Florida shoreline and anywhere else. It's a state sovereign's issue.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Well, it may be. That may be. But do you know what we get in revenue from tourism today?
I know it's a lot of money, but I also know that.
What
we
do you
could,
think it is? What kind of money do you think it is?
I have no idea. But how would you tell? Like to tell us?
What's the economic gain for the oil that you gain out of the Gulf?
The economic gain is to save all of us at the pump 10 to 12 cents a gallon based on today's transportation costs.
Yeah, but what's the economic total gain?
It's in the billions and trillions of dollars in terms of revenue.
That's untrue. That's untrue. It's about $2 billion, and that's according to the energy people themselves. And the other thing is they're jeopardizing the tourism dollars.
Hey, Augie, just a second. Augie, slow down. Just clarify the number. Is that $2 billion in revenue or $2 billion in tax revenue?
$2 billion in total revenue.
Okay.
Now, the total billions in tourist money is $60 billion. Now, if you want to go to the beaches of Texas and walk in slime, that's the thing you're jeopardizing on Longboat Key and the other great beaches of the west coast of Florida. And if you want to put $2 billion up over $60 billion to gain a few nickels like that, it's pretty penny wise and pound foolish. I really wonder at the sanity of that. And the argument about energy in this thing, they put down one place where they tap in and they put 50
Let's get a response.
Lines out of there, which any one of them can break and spill oil everywhere.
Stand by, Augie. Let's get a response.
I'll let that go as my final point.
All right. You don't want to follow up?
I'll follow up.
Let Matt get his rebuttal.
Well, first of all, with the purpose behind the FloridaOil.org movement, which has gained national traction, is to allow the states to use state sovereignty to go after the oil that's off their own shorelines and then bring it to their own states, refine it in their own states where a state doesn't have a refinery like Florida. With the price of oil at $75 a barrel, we would save immediately 10 cents per gallon at the pump just based on the transportation costs of having to take crude oil, send it to Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, refine it, and then ship it back over here by those ocean-going barges that they push back and forth across the Gulf. Now, I will remit my point that we had several Category 5 hurricanes with wind gusts as high as 200 miles an hour rip through the Gulf, and not one drop of oil left.
I got to disagree with you there, man. No, I've seen the satellite
really
photos.
Wait a minute.
Not one drop of oil found its way to New Orleans, number one. Now, did it find its way to Texas because of whatever was going on over there? Yes, but where the oil was supposed to come, where they said the experts said it was going to come to Florida, was going to come to Alabama, was going to go to Mississippi, was going to go to Louisiana, it didn't. It went to Texas. Now, I wonder why that was.
Okay, let's get Augie's last word here because we're getting close to break time.
Yeah, basically that's been that may be luck.
As far as that, I'll show Matt the satellite image and we'll see what he thinks after that.
Pardon me?
I'll show Matt the satellite image here in the studio on the break.
Yeah, they just had a barge accident in the Mississippi River, which is not far north of the mouth of Mississippi and the Gulf of Mexico, and it's caused a huge spillage. One accident of any variety, not just hurricanes, anything happening like that, and you've got a ruined tourist industry here, and you're doing it for nickels on the dollar.
Okay.
This is the silliest,
gotta go now,
useless thing. Thank you.
Thanks, Augie. And let's see. I don't know if this person can actually stay within the limits of the break, but hey, Lawrence.
Good afternoon, Henry. Mr. Bruce.
Hello, Lawrence.
I know I have only a short time, so I'd like to change the subject, if I may.
Okay.
What do you two gentlemen think about Obama flip-flopping on the terrorist trial in New York, and what do you think about that?
I'll let you go first, Matt.
Well, I'm holding in my hands, Lawrence, something from the Fire Department of New York. It's called the E-News. They send it out to all the different people that are involved with the Fire Department of New York. And the headline story says, President Obama, Attorney General Eric Holder, face political embarrassment in 9/11 terror trial shuffle. From the beginning, Lawrence, not one member of the Fire Department of New York that represents the first responders that were there was in favor of this trial being held there. Neither were the New York PD, neither were the EMS, neither were the families of the victims that died there. And by the way, I'm one of those too.
And Eric Holder is at what party?
Whoa, what about me? I thought I was going to get my shot. We've got 30 seconds left.
Shoot, Henry, go.
And for me, it's another example of this president not standing up and sticking to his guns on so many
hallelujah,
issues.
Hallelujah,
thank
Henry.
You, Lawrence. Sorry, Lawrence, got to go. And on the other side, we'll be speaking with John Robb, Brave New Moore with the captain, and I'll get this photo up in just a moment.